Be back. I want to thank your church for their prayers and support. And it's going to be exciting one day when you meet some of these Micronesians and see what your part has been in this ministry. Of course, your pastor's heart is huge for missions, and we appreciate that, especially his love for Micronesia. You can take the boy out of Micronesia, but you can't take Micronesia out of the boy. So he'll always have a heart there. Well, I really was not supposed to speak this evening. I was going to sneak in on the service. I talked to him on the phone, and I said, yeah, I'm going to come by on September 5th in the evening. He said, well, you didn't call or anything. I said, I just want to hear you preach. I don't want to preach. I want to hear you preach. And so anyways, he said, no, will you preach? And I said, well, all right. So if I make a mess of things, this is the preacher right here, and you come back, and he'll do a great job for you next week, all right? I promise you. Psalms chapter number 33, verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Look down at verse number 34 as well. Proverbs 14 and down to verse number 34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening and just thank and praise you for who you are. And God, I'm glad you're on the throne. You have everything under control. And Father, there's still a remnant down here on earth that loves you and wants to serve you. And I believe I'm part of that group this evening. And I ask you to help us tonight. We have needs in our lives. We understand we are but clay made from you. And you have things you desire us to do and what you want us to be. And I pray that we would be busy about doing what you'd want us to do and being what you want us to be. Father, we love you. We love Jesus. We know it's all about him. We didn't have a hope. We didn't even have a chance without the Lord Jesus. But what a change he's made in our life. And Father, may we share that with others and make a difference. I don't know the need of any person here tonight, but you do, Lord. And I pray you would meet these needs according to your perfect will. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. When a missionary comes back to America, his eyes are always seeing different things. You know, it's like a time warp. It was like this when we left, and now it's like this when we're back. And the biggest thing I've noticed this time when we came back is people don't care about anything anymore. Man, we got money coming in. We've got new furniture at the church, and we've got a good congregation on Sunday morning. We don't really need anything, including God. And it's really sad for us to see that. But I'm just telling you, my heart to yours. And I certainly see that in our country. What a sad state our country is becoming. It worries me. It concerns me. Now, we can certainly see the end times unfolding in our very eyes, can't we? And things aren't going to get any better, I don't believe. But you know what? God's still in control. He knows all about what's going on. And we just need to rest and be assured in him what we need to do. Now look at Lamentations. I just wanted to throw that out there because it's on my heart, our country. I just don't like the direction it's going. Although knowing the future biblically, I understand where we're going and why it's doing what it's doing. But still, I love America. I love this country. It's been good to me. And I don't want to see it. It breaks my heart to see how bad it's becoming. And I don't care what they say in Washington. You go down and look in the building, Scripture is all over Washington, D.C. Because our country was founded on the Word of God. And we had godly men and women that made a difference. But boy, we're getting so far away from that. And I just wonder, do people even know the Lord anymore? Or how well do they know the Lord? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 21. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I wonder, when we ask the question about knowing the Lord, how well people really do know Him. Most people in America would say that God is a God of love. And He is a God of love. But He's also a righteous and a holy God. He has to be righteous and holy and full of love all at the same time. I wish I could do that. I seem to only be able to do one thing at a time. I'm not a multitasker. I can do one thing at a time if I want to be any good at anything. But God, He can be all these things at the same time. But people forget of His holiness, and that when He says something, He has to keep His word. God always keeps His word. And our America thinks, well, He's just full of love and He's going to bypass and oversee all these things. I don't believe He is. I've noticed our country being blessed in a very special way since about 1948 when Israel became a nation. We've always stood beside her up until this administration. It's scary to see. When you quit supporting Israel, when you quit supporting missions, there's no more hope for America. It's going to be a mess, because with God's blessing off of this land, you're not going to like this land anymore. I love this land. I love God's blessing. I know we need Him. But anymore, in the government, in the schools, and in churches, we just don't need God anymore. We got it all figured out. Our methods do a good job, and we can draw in crowds, and we can entertain. We can get their monies, and everything's fine. You know what? We need God.
Amen.
And we need to know more about God, and we need to just have Him so important in our lives. Look at verse number 22. It says, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." You know, the first time I mess up and I sin against the holy God, I think He has a legal right to consume me. And praise God that I don't stand in front of Him in my flesh, because I would be consumed. Without the blood of Christ, without His dear Son, man, we are hopeless with a holy God. But praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 states that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." You know, one day Jesus is going to return. Paul believed it was going to be in his day. I believe every generation thought it was going to be in their day. And my friends, we ought to think it's going to be in our day as well.
Amen.
Now, a whole lot has happened since the days of Paul, and a whole lot of evidence to point that we could be that last generation. The whole thing about that is, when Jesus comes back, He's not going to put His feet on this earth till the tribulation period. And when He does, He's going to meet that Antichrist, that beast. And I'm telling you, the holiness of Christ is going to consume the beast. There isn't going to be a big battle. You read Revelation, you'll find it doesn't take much for Jesus to overthrow this false Antichrist system. He will be in full control, and He'll lock up Satan for 1,000 years, and then Satan will be loosened, hold a revolt against God once again, and then Jesus will step in and throw him in the lake of fire forever and ever. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that. He's corrupted my mind. He's ruined my life. He's ruined my family's lives. And only by the grace of God could we get any hope and help and be changed into something that God could actually use. We need the Lord more than ever before. I just thank God for His mercies. Boy, He could just consume me at any moment. I know if God doesn't say I get another breath, I'm not going to get another breath. I am fully dependent on God for life. The truth is, all people are, but most will not recognize that. You and I have sinned against the holy God, and only because of His mercies are we not consumed already. But you know what? I don't know how long God's mercies will last against sin. How long He will be long-suffering. At one point, enough is going to be enough. And I don't want to be on that end of our God. One day, we'll meet this holy God, and His holiness will overwhelm us. Praise God for His mercy. And praise God that He will not always be, merciful to our sin, because He's not. One day, it's going to be over. Amos says in Amos 4:12, "Prepare to meet thy God." Point is simply this. Christian, we have no business playing around with sin any longer. We ought to separate ourselves as far as we can from any known sin in our life. We ought to confess it. We ought to get it right, because one day we're going to stand before that holy God. And we ought to prepare ourselves right today to meet Him. Praise God, we'll, if we're born again, we'll be in heaven forever and ever. But you know what? I don't want to go there empty-handed. I want to go there and be able to lay something at my Lord and Savior's feet. I want to give Him something back for all He's done for me. And listen, sin will ruin that mess if we allow it. Secondly, I find His compassions fail not. In that same verse, boy, the only reason the Lord hadn't taken us and made us pay for our sin because of His compassion. Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, "But when He, Jesus, saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." John 11:35 says, "Jesus wept." And 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Man, when the Lord looks down on your life, praise God, He has compassion. His heart is burdened for you. I believe He even cries for you and I. Times in our life when we think everything's against us, I want you to know the Lord is for you. And He loves you. He died for you. He has a better life planned for you. We just need to remember His mercies and compassion. And the whole idea is, let's not take advantage of it. Don't take advantage of God's mercy and His compassion. Sometimes we get the idea we can play games with God. Listen, you're going to lose if you play games with God. He's loving, but He's also righteous. And if He says He's going to do something, mark it down. It's going to happen. You know what God desires? He desires that you and I turn. And don't hang on to sins. And just trust in Him and allow Him. If we can trust Him with our eternal life, can we trust Him for our everyday life as well? You know, I remember, and I've been a Christian 30 years now, and there were times where I had some pet sin in my life that I just kept petting and kept allowing to remain in me. And I just thought I didn't have enough strength to overcome that. I thought, man, I've tried. I've been to the altar. I've confessed it time and time again. For some reason, I keep picking it back up and taking it back with me and allowing it to continue in my life. Listen, when Christ died for our sins, He died for them all. He died to forgive us and to free us from the bondage of sin. I want to tell you tonight, there isn't any sin that you can't get rid of, you can't give to the Lord and get out of your life. Christ is greater than all of them. Maybe it's you that's been trying. Maybe it's time to give it over to the Lord and ask Him to remove it out of your life. He can and He will if you'll simply ask Him. I have a burden for our America and for our churches. And you're not the normal church, you know. Your attendance is very good on a Sunday night. You have a real love for God. That's wonderful. I may just be preaching to the choir tonight. But the whole idea is, I want to excite some people to get back in the right relationship with the Lord. And if that could be you tonight, I have no idea. If it could be you tonight, I'm going to challenge you to get that thing right. Man, the Lord's opened His arms wide. He saved you. And He says, you know what? That sin's just going to make you miserable. It's just going to hurt you. Why don't you let me have that thing? Let me get that out of your life. I don't care what it is. He can get it out of your life if you will ask Him and allow Him. Man, Jesus had compassion. If you remember when He hung on the cross, they had treated Him pretty bad. He could have said anything He wanted. In fact, I'm surprised He didn't say, "Father, strike them dead." He had a right to say that. He was an innocent man. And they beat Him like no other man. Didn't even look like a human being any longer. Yet He didn't say that at all, did He? In fact, He looked at the Father and with compassion said, "Father, forgive them. They don't have any idea what they're doing. They know not what they do." That is compassion. But don't expect compassion to last forever, because we're going to have to deal with our sin. You can either hang on to that sin and deal with it and make you miserable and stand before your God and give an account for that. Or you can have the holiness of God and you can hand that over to Jesus and you can say, "Lord, with Your holiness, just overpower that thing in my life and get that out of my life once and for all." He's willing. He's able. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? And I notice in verse 23, it says that God is faithful every day. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What is new every morning? What about God's mercy and His compassion? The new every morning, and our God is faithful. He's faithful. Once again, without mercy and compassion, none of us would probably even be here tonight. But notice what it says if you want to turn to Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5. Hold your place because our text will be right here for this evening. Psalm 30 and verse 5. For His anger endureth for a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, this verse tells us that what God's favor, what He really wants is life. He doesn't want death. He doesn't want sin. He wants life. He wants something that builds you up, something that will benefit your life. God does not want to destroy anyone, but sin forces God's righteousness and His holiness to act. And you know, there's one thing I've found in 30 years. I don't really want to see God's anger. I really don't want to see God's anger. A lot of people play games with that. I think they're playing with dynamite. And I want to tell you something. Sin angers God. It angers God. And this same God who spoke the world into existence, only a fool would want to anger our God. I don't want to anger Him. I don't want to anger Him. But when God gets angry, you know what's going to happen? You're going to weep through the night. You're going to weep through the night. And if sin angers God, and it does, you're going to weep through the night. And if you don't repent of that thing, if you don't get it right, you're not going to find joy in the morning. But boy, if you'll repent, if you'll get that right, oh, how wonderful that joy, that morning will be when you wake up and get that thing right with the Lord. Praise God, He's faithful in His mercy and compassion every day. But He's also righteous and holy every day as well. And His faithfulness will be in righteousness and holiness. Look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is my portion. I will hope in Him. The greatest thing in my life is not to know about a great God of mercy and compassion, but to be able to say, the Lord is my portion, and my hope is only in Him. You know, people trust in a lot of things these days. Probably the number one thing Americans trust in is money. Money. I got money, everything will be all right. I got a stash of money in the bank, and the bank says FDIC, so if something goes wrong, they're guaranteeing to give me my money back. Well, I had a banker the last 2 months tell me what FDIC really means. He told me like this. He said, the government requires an insurance company who sells annuities to have 105% of your monies on hand at all times. That's what they require an insurance company to have. You give them $1,000 as an annuity, they have to have $1,050 on hand at all times. Now, FDIC, he says, you know what that means? He says, that means the bank has to have 1.3% of your money on hand at all times. Doesn't that make you feel great? You have $100 in the bank, they have to have $1.30 in the bank to cover your $100. Doesn't that make you feel good today? Aren't you feeling real secure in your monies? You know what the sad thing is? He said, over the last 2 years, the banks can't come up with 1.3%. He said, it's about 13 cents on a dollar. That's what it is, about 13 cents on a dollar. That's how bad it is today. Listen, you're trusting in money, I'm telling you. You're trusting in the wrong things. As of July of this year, 100 banks already have went out. This year alone, 140 last year. Listen, the Bible says that we ought to have the Lord as our portion, and therefore we ought to hope in Him. I hope you're not trusting in money. I hope you're trusting in the Lord instead. A church or a person, man, many people are trusting in a church, trusting in a person. I feel sorry for them. I really do. Some people trusting in a prayer or a baptism. Other people trusting in themselves. Hey, I'll just be good and God will outweigh my good with the bad and I'll be able to be all right. You know what? No, you won't. Listen, it's the Lord. He needs to be your portion. Your hope needs to be in Him. Everything else is going to let you down or fail, I promise you. Most people have listened so long to the devil, they believe what he says is true. Hey, I saw it on TV, preacher, so it must be true. I got an email. It must be true if I got an email on it. I mean, we put stock and trust into things, into gossip. Boy, what are we really hoping in? What are we really trusting in our life? I know for myself, boy, everybody else has let me down in my life at one time or another. But Jesus, He never let me down one time. Even when I'm not so loving, He's still there, faithful to me. He promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He's kept His promise all these years. I wish I had kept that promise back to Him. But I've failed Him at times. Listen, our God is a loving God. We shouldn't trust in anything else. We need to realize that the devil is a liar and he wants to persuade you and get you to go against God any way he can. But we need to realize that we've got to quit believing the lies of the devil, and it's the Lord who we need to trust in. The God of mercy and compassion is giving you this moment to stop trusting in yourself or stop trusting in a prayer, stop trusting in money, and trust in Him. I don't know how long America is going to be this country that is so easy to live in and to be able to have all the luxuries that we have. I don't know. We all know one thing, that Iran is trying their hardest to get nuclear weapons. And I notice they've also are trying to get a satellite. And maybe they've already put a satellite up into space. I'm not sure. But one man said this, you know what? All Iran really needs to do is get a nuclear warhead on a satellite, position it over the United States. And if they ignite that thing, I forget what kind of nuclear explosion it is, but it'll wipe out all the electronics in the entire United States. Now, let's take away your cell phones tonight. Let's take away the electricity. Let's say you can't go out and start your car. Everything is absolutely dead. Is that going to make America a little different place? You know, people's going to panic if that would take place. But those who rest in the Lord, those who are trusting in Him, they're going to get through this thing. They're going to know what their trust is in. And Jesus, He wants us to trust in Him. Not in this world, not in the system, not in the government. You put your trust in the Lord. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, and to the soul that seeketh Him. The Lord is full of mercy and compassion. He's good to those who wait and seek Him. You know, salvation is just the first step with the Lord. Repentance and receiving Christ into your personal life, that'll grant you salvation. But I want to tell you, that's just the beginning. And the child of God every day has new blessings. There's new compassions and new mercies awaiting us every day. But He does want us to do a couple things. Wait for Him and seek Him. For those, it's promised, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, and to the soul that seeketh Him. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you waiting on Him to direct your path? Are you trusting in Him? Are you seeking Him? I'm telling you, if you are waiting on the Lord and you're seeking the Lord, you're going to find the mercy and compassion afresh and anew every day. And if you're like me, you need new mercies and compassions every day. God is faithful. He is faithful, and we can count on Him. Isaiah 55:8, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Boy, today, we need every morning those new mercies and compassions. We don't dare trust in our own ways. We need to trust in the Lord's way. Whatever your need is today, I want you to remember that God's patience one day will run out on this world, on sin, and it's going to be over. And we're going to start into a new chapter for the Christian life. I don't know what kind of need you may have today, but I want you to know that there is a God of mercy and compassion that desires to lay it out anew and afresh for you every morning. But He does want you to wait on Him. He doesn't want you to go out making decisions without His counsel. You say, "Where do I get the Lord's counsel at?" Right there. It's our instruction booklet for life. I don't know any area of life it doesn't cover. And it does a pretty good job. If you'll allow it to work in your life, you'll end up making the right decisions in your life. Sometimes we got to wait on the Lord. But we live in an instant society, don't we? Pop it in the microwave. In 1 minute, we got a full course meal, don't we? We don't wait for anything. But you know what? I don't know how long it's going to be. Boy, our America could turn upside down in a moment's time. And I want you to be resting and putting your hope and putting your having the Lord as your portion in your life. Remember, the Lord is good to them that wait for Him and to the soul that seeketh Him. The Lord is good to them that, look at verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You here tonight, I don't know your needs, but maybe your need is salvation. Maybe if you died, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. Your greatest need in your life is salvation. Do you know what? Jesus is the only one that saves. There's nobody else to turn to. You need help with salvation? You better go to Jesus. You say, I got physical needs tonight. Well, I believe Jesus is the great physician. I don't know one in the Bible that He didn't go to and heal them of their sickness or disease or whatever it may be. If it's God's will that you be healed and you wait on Him and you seek Him, He's going to heal you. We use doctors today. It's wonderful and great. But Jesus Christ is our great physician, and there isn't anything that He can't handle in your life physically. Why don't you trust Him with it? Why don't you allow Him to be the portion that He needs to be? Maybe you're addicted to some sin. Jesus came to free sinners. Take the bondage of whatever that sin is out of your life so that you can prepare to meet your God. I don't want to meet God in a wrong way. When I meet God, I want to be serving Him. I want to make sure I'm confessed. I want to make sure I'm doing something for Him. And I hope you're the same way this evening. Maybe you have spiritual needs. Well, Jesus was not just a man. He was God as well. Whatever your spiritual need, I guarantee you bring it to Him. He'll be able to help you with it tonight. I just wonder, is your Lord, is He your portion? Is the Lord the one you're really hoping in? Is He the one that when everything goes wrong, He's the one you always count on? Is He the first one you turn to in times of needs? He ought to be. He ought to be. I hope you're not trusting in the flesh. I hope you're not trusting in monies. But I hope you're trusting in the Lord. Not only for your eternity, but for your everyday life as well. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this evening and thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, it does break my heart to see the condition of our country. Things going on in this country that we never dreamed would ever go on. Lord, people seem to trust in everything except for You. I pray that we wouldn't be a Christian that plays around with sin in our life, but that we would seriously bring it to You and get it out of our life. We need help, God. We have needs, but You're the Lord that can do anything, and we want to commit these things unto You. I ask You to be with us in this invitation. If somebody doesn't know You as personal Lord and Savior, I pray today they would be and trust You as their personal Lord and Savior. May You be their portion. May their hope be in You. In Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Pastor Leithley, as you come. Let's stand together this evening. Take a songbook if you would. We'll sing a verse of invitation.
277.
Page 277 in the songbook. You've